Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Isn't it time that you powerfully aligned with your soul's purpose and activated your divine gifts and talents so that you can thrive in the new paradigm? Welcome to Soul Purpose Central with internationally acclaimed radio host Jennifer Longmore, North America's Soul Purpose Expert. You've been divinely guided here because something deep within your diamond light longs to be activated so that you can joyously evolve through your ascension journey. Congratulations! You have arrived at the right place. After 20,000 soul purpose and healing sessions, Jennifer now joyfully shares with you her profound wisdom and experience in the Akashic Records, multidimensional healing, and all that is relevant to your creation story as a unique spark of divine light, love. Join us for your connection to the wisdom of the collective Akasha and selected experts who can align you to all things soul purpose. Prepare to be activated, aligned, and accelerated on your ascension path. Now, here's your host, Jennifer Longmore.
Welcome, everyone, to Soul Purpose Central. I am your host, Jennifer Longmore, founder of souljourneys.ca, and I am very excited to connect in with you today for a lot of different reasons. I know your time is very valuable, so the fact that you're sharing it with us is very honoring and special. And it's even more special today because I want to introduce you to a wonderful guest, Tina Games. She is the author of Journaling by the Moonlight, A Mother's Path to Self-Discovery, which is an interactive book with an accompanying deck of 54 journaling prompt cards. And I have used them myself, so I can attest to the fact that they're absolutely beautiful and very, very helpful. She is a certified creativity coach and a life purpose intuitive, and is considered the Moonlight Muse for women who want to tap into the full moon within and claim their authentic self, both personally and professionally. Through her signature coaching programs based on the phases of the moon, Tina gently guides women from darkness to light as they create an authentic vision filled with purpose, passion, and creative expression. She lives in Alexandria, Virginia with her husband and their two children. And without further ado, I'd like to welcome Tina to the show. Welcome, Tina.
Hi, Jennifer. Thank you. So glad to be here today.
Thank you. I'm so excited to have you here. And you know, you've had a rich and colorful journey up until this point that led you to the place where you're coaching women in this way. But I know that your history kind of took some interesting windy roads and so on. So I think it would be great for people listening to hear how you got in alignment with your soul's purpose.
You know, I love this question because, you know, when you work with people on their purposeful journey, you're so mindful, you know, at the same time of your own paths that you've taken to get to where you are. And, you know, as I kind of think back about my own journey, I mean, it really dates back to childhood, really. And, you know, noticing at the time, you know, some of the challenges that my mom went through. And, you know, I think as a child, we don't really consciously connect with what's going on. But I think later on in life, we might have a pivotal life moment that causes us to reflect back and connect a few dots for ourselves. And this is what happened to me. I have two kids, of course, you mentioned that. And my first baby, my son, was born at a time he was unexpected. You know, we hadn't planned him. It happened all very quickly. And it was my marriage with my husband. It was just all like all at one time. And we relocated. I mean, so many things happened within like a month. So many different transitions. And, you know, I've had a very rich life where I've always bounced back pretty quickly and been able to move through various transitions. So I was very caught off guard when my son came into my life. And those first 4 months just really enjoyed motherhood and had made a conscious decision to take 4 months off for maternity leave and wanted to go back to work because I realized that that was such a big part of who I was, you know, being out in the world and interacting with people. Well, my son had some other plans, and he battled with, you know, what we consider truly minor health issues, but they were so chronic that it caused me to have to make a decision because he was in and out of his daycare quite sick. We were in and out of the pediatrician's office. He had just chronic ear infections, chronic colds, everything. And I remember there was just this big moment in the hospital. It was one of our many nights in the ER over a pretty severe ear infection. And the pediatrician looked at me, and this was quite pivotal. He didn't look at my husband. He looked at me. And he said, "Do you really have to work? Because the best thing for this child until he's about 2 years old is to be at home with you." And when he asked me that question in that moment, there were so many mixed emotions going on within me, because I could feel myself, there was part of me that said, yes, absolutely, I'll do whatever it takes for my son. And there was another part of me that said, wait a second, you're asking me to give up everything? So I had these mixed emotions that were happening in that very short 60-second, you know, dialogue. It really was a very short dialogue, but so much was happening for me. And I went ahead and I made the choice because I felt like it was the right thing to do for my son. You know, so I ended up leaving my job, and about the same time my husband had an opportunity to relocate. And so all of these things were happening. I left my job. We were relocating to another part of the United States where I had, you know, no family, no friends, nothing. I had a baby. So many transitions. So we relocated, you know, to this place, and I had a hard time, you know, settling in. It was just a beautiful place in the country, physically just beautiful. But I had a hard time for whatever reason. I understand it now, but at the time, for whatever reason, I wasn't connecting. And it was just my baby and me. My husband would go off to work, and I fell into a depression during a two-year period, and it felt like I had fallen into a black hole and couldn't get myself out. And I was doing all the old things that I knew that in the past, up until that point, had gotten me, you know, back on track, and they weren't working. And so I fell deeper and deeper into depression. Now, a door that opened for me at that time that certainly was not expected was a very beautiful, rich dialogue that I had with my mother. And like so many of us, you know, I had ups and downs with my mom over the years. We, you know, had just all these rocky things going on between us. But it gave us an opportunity in that very vulnerable moment for my mother and I to have a very rich dialogue. And we started talking about what was going on for me. And for the first time, my mom opened up and started talking to me, with me, about her depression, and her depression that lasted for years. And she shared with me all these emotions and all these things that she had felt while raising four children, and I being the oldest one. And as we were having this rich dialogue, so many dots were connecting, you know, in my life before that moment, because I could remember so vividly being with my mom. And I'm highly intuitive, but I didn't realize that as a child what that was all about. I just would feel things and just, you know, really pick up on other people's energies. And so I started flashing back, and I remembered these moments as a child, being on the other end of that, the receiving end as a child, and being with my mom in that space and not understanding what her pain was about. All I could do, I just felt it. And she would cry, or she would be so sad, or she would be angry, and there were all these things that happened. And as a result of that, I mean, my parents, I grew up in domestic violence, so there was a lot of things going on between my parents that I energetically took on, you know, as a child. And here I was being a mom with a son that I loved. I really loved him, but I felt like I wasn't really fully present to being in that experience with him, because I was in this depression. So I was energetically being taken back to so many things, you know. And when you're a mother, and for anybody listening, if you're a mom, I know you know what I'm talking about. When you have a child, and particularly with the first one, you really do go on replay for so many things that happened in your childhood that have gone unresolved. And there were so many things coming to the surface for me. And so I battled a two-year depression where I lost myself. I lost my identity. I didn't know who the heck I was, other than someone's mom. And so I began journal writing. I fell into my journal. I've always been an avid journal writer. I started writing in my journal. I started just pouring out everything that was going on and, you know, connecting dots and talking to my mom. And then I reached out to a very good friend of mine, and we talked. And so I'm writing. And what I noticed that was happening for me, because I had trouble sleeping at night during those 2 years. My son did not sleep through the night until he was 2 years old. And so I was up every night with him. And I was tired. I was exhausted. I was emotional. And I went to this one particular chair in our living room, and it was right beside a bay window. And every night I'd grab my journal. I'd sit there at 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, and I would write. And I would look out the window, and I started noticing the moon. And I could always see the moon from where I sat, unless it was a cloudy night. I always saw the moon, and I noticed the phases. And I started connecting with the moon. And I noticed as I was writing and looking at the moon and looking at the different phases that there was something energetically going on within me. And so I would write. So I got through that two-year period connecting with the moon, but not really being fully aware of my connection until years later. And years later, after being in that two-year depression and being in that place in the country and all these other things, we moved back to another area of the country where I did have some, you know, friends and family. And so we moved back there, and I was able to kind of live a different life. You know, I felt more connected. And then there were just a lot of things happening for me in this other area of my life where I just kind of started getting on a path of working on women's issues and really getting involved in a lot of, you know, nonprofit work and political campaign work and all kinds of things around women's issues. And I kind of found myself gravitating more toward issues that pertain to mothers. And I kind of fell on that track for, you know, several years, being very involved with mothers. And I just remember there was a conversation with a group of mothers I was having, and they started talking about identity and losing themselves in motherhood, and then all these things were coming back about my depression and my conversation with my mom. So it led to a series of focus groups that I felt called to pull together. And from the focus groups, I began writing a series of articles around identity and guilt and all these things that moms face. And from there, all of a sudden, you know, I was working with a coach at the time, a business coach, because I was looking to kind of find myself again and start my own business and trying to figure some things out. And so when I was working with this coach, she said, "I think you have a book inside of you." And I was like, "You think so? I have a book inside of me? I mean, what's the book about?" And so we started having this beautiful dialogue, and I thought, well, I think she's right. So I went and pulled out these articles that I had written, and I realized, my goodness, I have a whole series. I have a whole thing I can work with, but how do I put it in book form? And I remember being in a shower one morning, and all of a sudden the moon popped in my head, and I'm like, that's it. I'm going to write it through the moon phases. And so I remember jumping out of the shower, drying off really quickly, putting clothes on, and running to my computer, and I just started pulling things together around the moon. And I'd been fascinated with astrology for years, so I started pulling up everything I knew about the astrological moon sign, and it all just came pouring out of me. It was like this divine download. It was all just coming right out of me. And then I had a book all of a sudden, and I started putting it together, and then the card deck followed, and so many things came from there. And as this was all happening, and this all happened in 2009 that I started putting the book together, so you can kind of see, you know, my son was born in 99, so this happened during several years. It wasn't like one day I woke up and everything came together. This was a series of dots that were connecting all of a sudden. And so the book was written in 2009, published in 2010. I've been out doing workshops, coaching women, you know, and doing so many magical things with this book, with this process, with the card deck. And I am so in my right work, you know, working with mothers and then taking what I've created for mothers and just changing a few words, and it applies to any woman, really. It applies really to men, you know, if I wanted to swap out a few words, but it was just a process of self-discovery. And that's what I'm being called to do in the world, this self-discovery, transformation work, the spirituality, so many things, authenticity, identity, it just all came together, and here I am speaking with you today.
Well, I love how you share that, because, you know, sometimes we, I don't mean we as in you and I, but we as sort of the self-help movement, people that are leaders in the self-help movement, don't want to let people into sort of the dark night of the soul. And the reality is that's so helpful, because each one of us has discovered our purpose through that. I've yet to meet someone, and I've interviewed a lot of people who, you know, just magically woke up one day and their purpose was crystal clear and they saw the next 80 years of their life in front of them. it comes through this process of discovery and constantly putting one foot before the other, and all the richness that we gain from these things that aren't so pleasant at the time, but yet have such a rich, level of mastery that comes with it.
Yeah, so true. And, you know, and I'll add to that, Jennifer, it's, you know, it requires being vulnerable. And that's a hard thing for people. It was really, really hard for me, you know, quite honestly, when I realized, you know, I'm putting this book together. I've got to talk about my depression. Oh, my goodness. You know, what will people think? I remember having that kind of thought process in my head and writing about it in my journal. And thankfully, I was working with a coach at that time, and she said, you're just going to have to do it. You're going to have to take the leap of courage. And it really did feel courageous to me, because I thought, I don't know if I want to tell anybody this. I mean, what will they think? Mm-hmm. And it took a lot of courage for me to be vulnerable and to tell people I went through a 2-year depression, and it was awful. You know, it was so dark. It was so dark. And, you know, I wanted to share a quote that really, truly inspired so much of this work for me when I was really journal writing, and I ran across a quote by Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. And the quote is, people are like stained glass windows. They sparkle and shine when the sun is out, but when the darkness sets in, their true beauty is revealed only if there is a light from within. Yeah, and when I found that quote, I so resonated, because I felt like, you know, my light was off. You know, for a couple of years, my light was off, and I felt very dark inside, and very confused, and truly had felt like I'd fallen in a black hole and everything was dark. And I was so desperate for the light. And so when people come to me, and what's interesting, Jennifer, is people come to me in depression all the time. I mean, I have various levels of people who come to me in depression, but depression is something that I personally find very, very spiritual, and I try to reframe that for people to help them see that depression's not a nasty, bad thing. It's a place that you're called into. It doesn't feel good. I will acknowledge that. But there's so much richness there if only you can just go in. You know, if you can just step into that place of darkness and trust that that is exactly where you're supposed to be at that moment. And so I find it very interesting that I seem to have this common thread of people that come to me in various forms of depression. And so I work with them. I meet them in that darkness. And that's why it made so much sense for me to begin the process that I do with people in the new moon. That's the dark moon. That's the darkness of the moon. The moon is there. I mean, the moon is always there. It's just in the new moon phase, we don't really see the light, but we can see the outline. So when people come to me, I share with them, I can see your outline. You're there. I know you are. It's just a matter of connecting you with that internal light. And that is the work that I've been called to do in this world. You know, it started with mothers. I still continue to work with moms. But women are coming to me with no children. And I've had men starting to show up now. And it's just this connection, this vibration that we have, where they know that I understand them. They know that I create this safe space. I don't judge the depression. I receive it in the way that it's intended to be received, and I'm there with them, and I reframe it, and we talk about it and go through the process so that they can see that it's not a bad thing. It's an invitation to go deeper with your own journey, to go deeper and just, you know, go from there, and that's what I've been called to do.
I wouldn't mind staying here for a moment, because there's going to be a lot of people listening that are going to resonate with what you're saying, and they may want to further identify how to place themselves in this. They might be wondering if they have depression, and I know depression shows up in a lot of different forms, but what are some of the things that maybe people can look for if they're needing some support with depression? What are some of the more subtle things that happen?
Yeah, with depression, the biggest thing that happens, I think, is this feeling of disconnect, you know, being in this place where you feel absolutely disconnected, where everything around you that you've always known just doesn't feel right anymore. There's a disconnect. You know, thinking back of my 2-year depression, there was this awareness because I'd let go of so many things that felt familiar to me, you know, my job and my where we were living at the time we relocated, all of a sudden things around me were changing. So what I would invite people to think about is sometimes we are making physical changes that aren't familiar, and there's an awareness at some point that, okay, I've made these changes, but I don't feel comfortable here. This feels really yuck to me. I'm feeling totally disconnected. And then there are other times where it may be something more of you're in a scenario that's very familiar, but all of a sudden it's not working anymore, and there's an awareness that this no longer works for me. And so there's this feeling of disconnect. And so you're getting up every day really feeling like you're on autopilot, you know, that there isn't any connection anymore. It just doesn't feel that way. You know, also another indicator to me is when you are really starting for several days, and, you know, we all have bad days. We all have days where things just aren't going right. But when you have a series of bad days, you know, it keeps going and going, and you've truly lost the joy. You've truly lost this feeling of feeling alive. You know, that is another big trigger for me. When you're not feeling alive in the world and alive in your own body consistently, to me that's an indicator that you're off path. And I want to just really clarify, depression, the word depression has such a, you know, negative what is the connotation to it? It feels negative because that's the way society has portrayed it. But I wanted to say to everybody, don't be afraid of it. You know, the word itself, if I could just change the word, I would. But the word itself, it has so many variations. We can be depressed on any given day, and it could be a mild depression, and we can make a few changes, and then we're feeling better. And then for others of us, it may be something deeper, you know, around depression. Whenever we're on the verge of just huge transformation, we do tend to go through a series of feeling disconnected, a series of days. And for my case, it was 2 years, you know, where I just didn't feel connected. You know, I was present, but I wasn't really present. I was physically present to my life. You know, I was running, taking care of my baby, doing these things, but I wasn't emotionally connected. I wasn't spiritually connected. I was physically connected. I truly felt like I was running on autopilot. And I would invite everybody to really think about that and pay attention, because I do believe, I mean, I'm around people all the time, and I can energetically feel when they're on autopilot. So these are indicators. If you're kind of going through something like that, just take a moment to stop and be aware and take a deep breath. And don't allow yourself, really. I mean, just be mindful of this energy, and don't get discouraged, because what it feels very strongly to me is you're just on the verge of a breakthrough. You're on the verge of a different path. You know, something else is wanting to come in. You know, another door is wanting for you to open it. And in order to open that door, you have to move out of where you are and close that door. And so there's this stuff that happens energetically, you know, in our life every day, and it's an invitation to come out of an old space. I talk a lot about the comfort zone with people, this place where we live, you know, this zone, this physical space, emotional, mental, this space that feels comfortable, but it feels so old. It feels old. You know, and I also want, if I could, Jennifer, just to take a moment to share with your listeners an analogy that I use a lot with my clients. And I want to just invite everybody to imagine being in a living room, you know, and on one side of the living room, there's an old chair. And this is a chair that you've had for many years. It's very comfortable. You know what it feels like to sit there. I mean, it's very comfortable. And you sit there all the time. It's kind of like that chair that I sat in for 2 years of my depression. I kept going to the same chair. I knew what it felt like. I went there. It was safe. And imagine how much you do that every day, going to that same chair. You know, everything you do, you know, in your life, you're always going to that same space. And I want to invite you for a moment to be in this living room with the old chair on one side of the room, and across the other side is a brand new chair. It's brand new, and it is so beautiful. And you can see it from across the room. It's been literally just delivered to your living room. And you're looking at it, you're thinking, oh my goodness, that is such a beautiful chair. I want to sit in it. And then there's this moment where you get up to walk across the room to sit in the chair, and then you stop and you think, well, gosh, what if I sit in the chair and I mess it up? Or what if I sit in the chair and it doesn't feel the same way? And, you know, you start having all these what ifs. So you get caught up in the what ifs and the unknowns, and you stop and you think, oh, I don't know, maybe not yet. So you turn around and you go back to the old chair because it's familiar. And so each and every day in our lives, I want you to pay attention to how much you go through old patterns, you know, these routines. And if you enjoy the routine, if you genuinely are joyful about the routine, then that's one thing. But if you're not joyful about the same old routines, then it's a calling, if you will, a universal, spiritual, you know, however you define it. It's a bigger calling, a bigger invitation for you to sit in a different chair, to change the routine, to change something about that path so that the energy can shift because there's a door or there's a new chair. There's something that's inviting you in a different direction. And so as I work with my clients, you know, we're sitting in the old chair quite a bit. When they show up, we're in that old chair, and we try to understand that old chair and what that old chair represents and what's it about. And then I invite them, and my process really guides them across the living room. It's all about guiding them on that path to the chair across the room. And for some people, it might be a leap across the room. Others, it might be a very, very slow walk across the room. And whatever it is for people, it's absolutely okay. And so I invite people in this self-discovery process with me, you know, in this dark moon, and we move through the moon phases, and we eventually get to the chair on the other side. Now, the chair in my process represents the blue moon. There are 8 natural phases of the moon. I've added a 9th phase, the blue moon, which is not a real moon phase, but in my process, I've created it because every, you know, 3 years, I believe, we have a 13th moon, and that extra moon, we call it a blue moon, because it's unique. It's all, it's, you know, it's just all about what's unique about you, what's authentic. All of these gifts and possibilities for yourself in this lifetime is represented in that blue moon energy. So we travel from the new moon phase, traveling through 8 phases where we're literally peeling back layers of someone and really understanding and connecting the dots. And then we get to that blue moon phase where we're like, oh my gosh, I'm so happy to be here. I'm so happy to sit in this new chair. I'm just so happy about it. And then you can look across the room and you can look at your old, your comfort zone, and you're thinking, oh, I can't believe I was there for so long because this feels so fantastic. But it's that journey from one chair to the other that is difficult for people because it takes you out of your comfort zone. It puts you on a path that is not familiar. And for a lot of people, that is not easy. It's really not easy, and that's part of a lot of our journeys in the world is to have the courage to travel that path that doesn't feel familiar. And so that is kind of the process, really. And it's my own journey. It's so many journeys of the people I work with, and that's where I guide people. So depression is not a scary thing. Despite what we've been led to believe about it, it really isn't a scary thing. It's an invitation to make a change. It's an invitation for transformation. It's an invitation to close a door and open another one. It's an invitation to go down a different path that you might not otherwise have considered.
I love that. And I've often, because like you, I've had a lot of folks that have depression over the years, and whenever I tune in with their guides about where this comes from, the overriding answer, although it could be, of course, inherited and different things like that, that ultimately the energetic root of it is like an existential depression. And, you know, it's like the questions of why am I here, what's my purpose, and do I matter, does my life matter, am I making a difference? And when people get more on track with that, which is what you're talking about, then they're able to have much different results, and of course the depression magically goes away or, you know, dramatically subsided.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and you know, and so many things are coming to my mind, Jennifer. There's wanted to share this quick story of somebody that I am connected with, you know, in the virtual world, and we exchange stories sometimes. And I was reading something that she had shared very recently, and she has cancer, or had cancer. Let me say that she had a form of cancer, and was having to go through some pretty intensive chemo. And she had made a decision with her husband, before I go through the chemo, I want to just go off somewhere. I just want to be away from this for a little while. So they went down to the Caribbean. I can't remember exactly where they were, but they went down to the Caribbean. She said she was laying on the beach, and she had this vision that had popped in her mind. And she'd been doing some energy work, you know, with an energy coach. And so she was kind of being called in that moment to kind of go into this vision. And she said she closed her eyes, and she visualized the cancer in her body and then her immune system. And she said it came to her like Pac-Man. You know, I hope some of your listeners know what I'm talking about, the video game from like back in the 80s. And she pictured in her body that Pac-Man, you know, the Pac-Man was her immune system, and it was going around and it was eating all the cancer in her body. And she said it was such a vivid visual that she physically felt it happening in her body. And she's telling her husband, something is happening in me. And what was interesting about this, she felt it so vividly and physically, and she came back to her home and went to the doctor because they had to do a couple of preliminary tests before the chemo started. So they did the preliminary tests, and the doctor comes into the room and said, you're not going to believe this. We've ran all these tests. The cancer is gone. Mm. And she said she knew it. She knew that that was happening, and she knew when she went into the office that day to do these preliminary tests that it was very possible that the cancer was no longer in her body. And all she needed was the validation. And so when he came in and said that, it's not in your body. Oh, my gosh, we've never seen anything like this before. And it was so powerful. And so what I want to say to everybody, we have that power within us. I truly, truly believe that. I've been guided myself to very strongly believe that and share that with everybody that comes, you know, in my space. We have the power to heal ourselves. We really do. And if I may share just another quick story, my daughter came home, today's Friday, my daughter came home a couple of days ago and was telling me there was a boy in her class. He'd been out sick for several days, and so his mother came in on this particular day this week, and she was sharing, you know, getting some of his schoolwork. And my daughter, who is just such a beautiful little intuitive healer, walks up to the mother and said, you know, where is, you know, and said his name, where is he? We've missed him. And she leaned down. The mother felt very comfortable doing this, which I just thought was beautiful because my daughter has this vibration. But she knelt down and eye to eye to my daughter and told her that he was battling leukemia. And my daughter got very teary. She was sharing with me what happened, and she came home and told me that, and we both sat down and had a very good cry. And I was called into prayer later that night. I just kind of sat with myself and just, you know, myself and my higher power, God, the universe. I just pulled in every higher power source that I had. I just pulled them all in. And I really asked for healing powers for this boy, you know, for him to have the ability to heal himself. You know, he's quite young. But I asked for that and asked for that over and over again. And for his mother, is a single mom. I mean, she's on this journey as a single mother. And I was asking for healing, emotional healing for her, physical healing for him. And the next day, I emailed a friend of mine just to check on, you know, what was going on and how I could help and how I could show up and bring dinners and other things. And she said, well, they just came back from the hospital and ran some more tests, and it looks like the leukemia that he has is treatable. And so, and she went on to tell me what, you know, what they were going to do, but it was treatable. And I just felt this overwhelming feeling, and you know, just goosebumps and everything. And I thought, thank goodness, you know, thank God, thank the universe, thank the angels, thank everybody, because before, you know, when I first found out, I just felt like, okay, I need to pull in my energetic powers, my healing powers, and call on, you know, my sources to help this child heal himself. because at that time we weren't sure. We knew he had leukemia, but the tests were going on, so they weren't real specific yet about, you know, the variation of it. And so when I got that news, I was like, oh, thank goodness. It's a treatable form of leukemia, and they caught it very early. And I was like, thank you. And so I share that story because all of us have the healing power within us, and we all have that ability to help another when we're called to do so. And so know that depression, you know, going back to depression, know that that is something that is very treatable. If we choose to believe that and receive that, it's very treatable within our own being. And that is what my work is about. So when people come to me, I very quickly recognize those that really have the ability to heal themselves and those that really might need my help and you know, intervention a little bit, and we work together. So just know that about yourself. Know that you have that ability to heal yourself, whether it's spiritual, emotional, physical. And you also have the ability to attract the right people who can come into your life to help you heal. Mm. So don't be afraid of depression.
Mm-hmm. Well, since you have been using this process with people, because I know you created the process for yourself, what are the kind of things that, what are the shifts that you notice with people when you're taking them through the process?
You know, gosh, what I love, you know, when I'm working with people, what I love more than anything are the breakthroughs that happen, you know, the ahas, the insights. And because when people show up in my space, they're, you know, sometimes they can be very hopeless sometimes. And, you know, some people have come to me as a last resort. Others have come to me in the very beginning of their journeys. And they show up, and there's this feeling, because they've been in that comfort zone for so long, there's this feeling that I don't know why I'm here working with you because nothing else has worked, or I don't know if I fully believe that this might work, but there's something that is calling me to show up with you. And so what I love more than anything and what I see with people is when I can, and I'm very visual, so when I can see the veils, you know, all of these little cocoons and everything that people are wrapped up in, when I can see them just dropping and I can see the light just coming out or surrounding them, that is so magical to me. And people can feel it, and I really invite them to feel it, you know. And when we're in that comfort zone and we're so heavy in that comfort zone, we just can't feel things. You know, we can't even see things for ourselves. So what I love about working with people are those magical moments when they feel safe enough, or they trust the process enough, or trust the divine powers or the powers within them, when they trust enough to drop those veils. You know, I'm working right now with a client who is a medium, and she came to me for various reasons, and we've been doing some work together because I so clearly saw her purpose. I so clearly saw the vision of where she was going. And she saw the vision, but there were all these little tangles of vines that were just keeping her out of the vision. They were keeping her down from the vision. And so we had to do a lot of work around untangling and understanding what these tangles were about. And there was a lot of justifying. You know, she was justifying why she was wrapped up in these tangles. And I just very gently said to her, there's no reason to justify. You don't have to justify with me. I just want you to be with what is. And let's look at it for what it is, and then let's just begin to shift. And I need for you to trust me on this. I need for you to trust that you've been called to me and I'm the right person to work with you here. I need you to trust that. And then as soon as she got into the place of trusting, then all of a sudden the vines started to drop. Yeah, they just started to fall aside. And we were in this space together, and all of a sudden I could hear in her voice joy. I could hear glee. I could hear there was like this energetic vibration in her voice that went from dullness to light. And you can hear it in people's voices. You can see it if I'm face-to-face with somebody, I can see it in their energetic being. But if I'm on the phone with them, I can hear it in their voice. And that is what's so magical. And going through the process, there is an element of trust. You do have to believe that you're always in the right place at the right time with the right person, receiving the right message. And there, it's just an element of trust. And when you can receive that trust, when you can really step into that trust and go with the flow of the energy around that trust, doors open. They really, truly do, but it's, you have to trust.
I love that. So what's the biggest transformation that you've seen to date in someone that you've been supporting?
Oh, gosh, I have so many stories. But I'll share this one with a client that I had. She and I have been working together for about 3 years, and I have just seen amazing transformations. And so she comes to mind, and I'll share quickly her journey here. When she came to me 3 years ago, there was so much stuff. There was this, I don't know that I've ever met somebody that had such a big light within them, yet outside of them there was so much darkness.
Mm.
She came to me with such a heavy, heavy, heavy story. You know, she grew up with parents battling depression. Her father left and had some issues around depression and just kind of left the family. And as a result of that, her mother went to a very, very dark depression and where she couldn't take care of the kids anymore. So this particular individual and her siblings went off to foster homes. So she grew up in foster homes, one right after the other, and had physical, emotional, mental abuse. One right after the other. She went on this pattern of just severe abuse. And so she got to this point where there was this need for belonging. There was this need for somebody, I want somebody to love me. You know, I've gone through all this. Nobody's loved me. She joined the military. And, you know, because there is that kind of that sense of a family in the military. She joined the military and everything was going okay, you know, for a while. And then she was gang raped. And went through that trauma of being gang raped. And out of the gang rape, she got pregnant. And being pregnant, there was a lot of fear. She was threatened to not talk about the pregnancy and to not go public about it. And so there was this, you know, thing that was going on within her, you know, around abortion. But she felt like she couldn't do that in this moment. So she ended up carrying the baby. Ended up being discharged from the military for various reasons, but went on to have the baby who was born of mixed race. And that was bringing on some challenges for, you know, with where she was living at the time. So she brought a mixed race baby into the world, and then shortly after the birth of the baby, found out that the baby was deaf. So she was raising a child who was deaf. And that brought on various challenges. And then in her work with me, when we started working together and she brought all of these very rich layers of her story to me, during the first year that we worked together, she came out as a lesbian. And that had always been her story, but it was something that she had hidden for a really, really, really long time. And she came out with me. I was the first person to receive this. As a lesbian, and as soon as she could make that admission, things started opening, the doors started opening, and from there we started healing and doing all this work, you know, with her story. And she met her partner in the second year of us working together, and so many things kind of have been spiraling since then. You know, we're still doing some work now together, and she recently made the decision to end the relationship with her partner for various reasons that I won't get into here. But what I have seen with her in the 3 years that we've been working together is just huge evolving. You know, from this being that came to me, and I could so sense the light inside of her, and it felt trapped. This light within her was so trapped by such heavy darkness around her that it made me sad, honestly. When she came to me, I felt this overwhelming sadness, and I knew I needed to be with her. And so for 3 years, she comes to mind so immediately because there's been such huge, huge transformations with every single thing that has happened. And now ending the relationship with her partner certainly brings a lot of sadness to her, but there are reasons. You know, there are so many reasons why this particular partner came to her, and they spent a year together and learned so much from each other and given each other so many gifts, and now it's time for them, both of them, to move on. And I'm so delighted to see how she's working through this because she's able to really see the gifts and to see the gifts around letting go of this relationship. And she's so open to, and she's so good with this. And that, I think, is such a result of really going deep into the transformational work that we've done, that she's okay with the letting go of this. because it served a particular purpose, and now that is done and it's time to move on. And I just to see her be able to do this has been very, very powerful. So she comes to mind. I have so many stories like hers, but she comes to mind because there were so many different layers of her story that required a lot of trust. There was a lot of trust involved between she and me in working together through a lot of the layers of her story.
Mm-hmm. So obviously your system is very supportive of people, but what is it that people need to do within themselves? You know, because a lot of people will go for coaching or therapy or intuitive guidance or things like that, and they can have minimal shifts. So what ingredients do you feel are required within the person? What's required of them to go from where they are and where they want to be? What kind of energies do they need to muster up?
There really has to be a belief that this can happen. Mm-hmm. And that is the biggest hang up that I see with people. I think there are intentions. People show up with the intention to want to make a huge transformation or to want to change something. They have intentions, otherwise they wouldn't show up. But I think what goes beyond just the intention is a deep belief that, yes, this can happen. I will go back to something that I said earlier that I very strongly believe, and I want to just invite people to really hear these words and to really believe them. We're always in the right place at the right time with the right person receiving the right message. And when we really believe that, really being in that space, if you're ever feeling called to do transformational work to even the level of depth that I had described with my client, really trust that if you even have the intention to be in that space, there has to be a belief that time right now, in that moment that you make that intention, you have to believe that the time is now. You really have to believe that the time is now. Now, what happens a lot is that people let go of that belief, or they don't even believe in the belief, and so they'll let go of it and they'll stay trapped in the comfort zone. They'll stay trapped in the old patterns. But yet there's something that brings them out of the pattern for a moment. It's almost like the groundhog on Groundhog Day, where you stick your head out to see if there's a shadow or not, and then you go back in. And I believe all of us really do want to change, and we stick our heads out. We're like, I want to change. But then there's something that says, oh, I don't know if I believe it, and I go back in. Yeah. Mm. And so I want to just say to people, what goes beyond the intention is a true belief that this can happen for you. And if you really believe that, then step into the darkness. Because when you step into the darkness and you're facing something like this, it doesn't feel good. And I want to just be very honest. It doesn't always feel good when you first come out of your comfort zone. And when you go into a dark space of the unknown, it doesn't feel good, but you have to trust and believe that what's on the other side of that is much better than what you're coming out of. And you have to believe that, and you have to trust it. And there's no way that I could ever tell you what's on the other side. I mean, I probably could in some cases, but it's really your belief and not mine. You have to believe that there is something better on the other side of the journey. And when you can really embrace that and believe that and trust that, then you're ready to go.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. It's really just sounds like what you're describing, that is people have to decide what is more important to them, their comfort zone or the change that they want to have.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, and I just want also to believe for everybody to really think this way too. I mean, our soul is on a journey, and we're in this lifetime for particular reasons, and we can embrace those reasons. We can really step into to our soul's journey or not. And if we choose not, then okay, that's fine. That's a choice you've made. But just know that that is something that you will face at some point. You know, whether it's in the life after this one, or wherever you go after this lifetime. Just know, or maybe later on in this life. You know, just know that it's there at some point, and you can either go ahead with it now, or you can just wait. If you want to wait, that's fine. But if you're being called at all to really embrace and walk down this path of transformation, just imagine all the joyful years you can have and all this great way of living that you can have sooner than later.
Mm-hmm.
So really just know that and trust it.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah.
So I want to talk a bit about your book and card deck, and I know you have a special website for that, www.journalingbythemoonlight.com. And what can you tell us about why that's going to support us in our journey?
I've got this wonderful book, and again, I want to just say it was originally written for mothers. However, a lot of women have been called to this work, and I'm looking, I haven't done it yet, but I am kind of looking at going back through the material and changing a few words so that, you know, anybody can pick it up. But anybody that goes to the site, first of all, there's a video there, and you can, you know, hear me talk about my journey and what led me to this work in the world. But the book itself takes you through a process. It is designed as a workbook. You can write in it. You know, it's got journaling pages in there. It really does walk you through the phases, you know, one phase leading to the next. So if you're feeling called to really kind of go through that, you can certainly pick up the book. Or if you want somebody to kind of hold your hand and be with you through the process, then I'm available to do that through a couple of coaching programs that you can read about on the site. The card deck was created with the intention that you could pick up a card at any time and work with it. The card deck, there are 54 journaling cards, and I've got 6 very rich, very deep journaling prompts that coincide with each phase of the moon as it's in my process. For some of us, we may be called to go through the entire process, you know, one right after the other. For others of you, there might just be parts of things that you want to really sit with, and I'll just give you an example here, because I've got all of my, you know, moon phases laid out to really coincide with a part of the self-discovery process. For example, I just pulled out the waxing gibbous, and, you know, in the moon phases, you know, looking at the moon, the waxing gibbous is, you know, we start with the waxing crescent, so that's phase one, then we move to the first quarter, which is phase two. The waxing gibbous is when you look up in the sky and you kind of see 3/4 of a moon coming up from the right or the bottom side. That's kind of phase three if we were to put numbers on it. Now, the waxing gibbous, if you were to pull a card out of the deck from the waxing gibbous phase, I've related this particular moon phase to the strength of a support system. So let's just say that somebody, you know, things are going pretty well for them, but yet there's a whole lot of tangles around support system. They don't feel fully supported. You know, maybe other areas, you know, are going okay, but this particular area doesn't feel so good. So you can go to the card deck or pull out the 54 cards, pull out all 6 cards from the waxing gibbous phase, the strength of a support system, and you can do several different things. You could either read all of the cards and pull the one that most resonates for you in that moment and work with that one, or you can just mix the cards up, the 6 cards, and just trust that you're divinely guided to the right one that you need in the moment, and work with it that way. And that way you can kind of go specifically to the phase that addresses whatever the issue is. But if you're kind of feeling like this is just one big journey that you're really wanting to take, then you just go to the book and, you know, walk through the moon phases, kind of go through the entire process because each phase builds upon the next. And that's how I've set it up. So you've got a couple of different options there. And again, if you want to kind of be in a support network, you know, I run group circles around this process periodically throughout the year. I usually run 2 to 3 groups a year. You can join a group if you really enjoy being in that, you know, camaraderie, being with other people that are going through the process, or you can work with me one-on-one if you really want to just it to be you and I, and you want some support, and you want somebody to bounce things off of and really support you and hear you and be with you in the process, and we can do it that way. So there are several different ways that you can use this material, and you'll find that on my website, journalingbythemoonlight.com.
Mm. Wow. Well, we've covered so much today, and you have such a rich journey, and you have such a rich way of serving people. I think it would be really great for people to be able to stay in touch with you, even if they just pop by your website and sign up for the free juicy gift that you have there, so they can be able to follow you and stay in touch with all the other things that you have going on. And I so appreciate you sharing your heart and all of your wisdom today, because I know that that's really going to help everyone listening, and I can't imagine people walking away or not walking away with at least one aha. If you could leave us with one last thought about what we need to do to really support our life purpose, what would you say that is?
I'm going to go back to the belief again. I'm going to just ask everybody to just believe in the possibilities for yourself in this lifetime. Believe that you're on this planet for very specific reasons, for to be called into your potential. For some of you, it's very individual. For others of you, it might feel collective, could even be a mix, meaning that we're being called into our own individual healing or our own individual work in order to do some collective work in the world. Others of you, it may just be here on this planet to go through a particular journey in life and meet particular people to really heal your own being. And there are others that have done so much beautiful work on themselves, but yet there's a calling that feels very collective. You're here to be with others. So whatever is intuitively coming to you, and I'm going to ask you to really believe in your own intuition, really believe in your own guidance, and whatever's coming to you, just believe it and trust it and allow yourself to follow the path. So we're all here to do purposeful work in the world in whatever way that shows up. And please don't, you know, don't compare yourself to somebody else's journey. You're on your own journey. And just believe in that and trust that and follow your guidance so that you can really live to your potential in this lifetime.
I love that. Well, thank you so much, Tina, for sharing all of your wisdom with us today. It's been really wonderful, and of course we could talk forever, but unfortunately
yeah, we could.
We've run out of time. I want to thank all of you for sharing your time with us today. And again, if you want to learn more about how Tina can support you, please visit www.journalingbythemoonlight.com. So from now until the next time we connect, everyone, have a great rest of your day. Namaste.
You've been listening to Soul Purpose Central with internationally acclaimed radio host Jennifer Longmore, North America's Soul Purpose Expert, here on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Join Jennifer for your connection to the wisdom of the collective Akasha and selected experts who can align you to all things soul purpose. Prepare to be activated, aligned, and accelerated on your ascension path. To find out more about Jennifer Longmore, visit her on her site at souljourneys.ca.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Our hosts are setting a new standard for a fresh kind of talk radio, creating conversations that are transforming the world, one listener at a time. Transformation Talk Radio's mission is to broadcast a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, educational and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Stay tuned. Transformation Talk Radio starts at the top of every hour.
Hi, my name is Dr. Dane here from Access Consciousness. Are you a seeker, a dreamer, one of those people who's always known that there should be greater possibilities available but haven't yet been able to create it as your life? I'd like to help. Go to creatinggreaterpossibilities.com. where there's a free video and audio series created especially for you. Once again, creatinggreaterpossibilities.com. It's free, and it's designed to give you the actual tools that you need to create the life you've always been looking for. creatinggreaterpossibilities.com.
Naturopathic doctor, founder of the Martha's Vineyard Holistic Retreat, and author of the New York Times bestseller 21 Pounds in 21 Days, Dr. Ronnie DeLuce has helped tens of thousands of people, including celebrities and athletes, with her message of lifestyle change. Now Dr. Ronnie DeLuce wants to help you. You too can be saved. Email Dr. Ronnie DeLuce at info@ronniedeluceonradio.com and visit mvholisticretreat.com. Dr. Ronnie DeLuce, your partner in wellness.